Former Packers cornerback Jared Bush has been suspended by the NFL. We'll discuss the Bush situation, but first we welcome Mike Reuter of Cheesehead TV for an interview about Aaron Rodgers and his remarkable performance in the pocket. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kervu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting close to the start of training camp. We'll be talking about that very, very soon. We are going to be discussing today the suspension of cornerback Jared Bush. That'll be coming up in a few moments, but we're going to kick off the show today with an interview with Mike Reuter of CheeseheadTV.com. Have been having the writers formerly of AllGBP.com who have transferred over to Cheesehead TV. And I think Mike is the last person we've had since I've had every writer of Cheesehead TV on the show that's transferred over since the start of the off season. So this kind of concludes a series, so to speak. But this is a pre-recorded interview, but still a really good one. Mike wrote an article on Aaron Rodgers and his consistency in the pocket recently at Cheesehead TV. And you can see, if you're watching the live stream broadcast, you can see the link to the article down below. Enjoy the interview. Listen in because I think it's a good one. And afterwards, we'll talk a little bit about Jared Bush, but enjoy.
Expert interview.
Right now, we're joined by Mike Reuter on Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Mr. Reuter, how you doing this morning?
Can't complain right now. How are you?
Very good. We're glad to have you on the show. We've been having several of the writers from the newly joined AllGBP.com, now at Cheesehead TV, join us. We're glad to have you on the show. And I kind of start off with a lot of the bloggers the first time they joined me. Tell me about how they became a Packers fan. So, Mike, if you would just indulge us for a second, how did you become a Packers fan?
Well, I grew up, spent pretty much the majority of my life in Minnesota, actually. And when I was in, I don't know, third grade or so, my dad bought season tickets to University of Minnesota football. And the superstar of the team at the time was named Chris Darkins. And that was our first year of season tickets. And he got drafted by the Packers. And obviously, he was the superstar on the team. So he was my favorite player. And as soon as he got drafted by the Packers, I started cheering for the Packers. And that was the 1995-1996 season, so it probably doesn't hurt that they started winning right then either, but been a big fan since. And of course, the Packers haven't drafted a single Gopher since then, and I was pulling real hard for Max Williams this year, but that didn't quite work out.
That's it. Chris Darkins, you might be the only Packers fan whose fandom has been started by Chris Darkins.
There's a good chance.
That's a great story. All right, Michael, I wanted to talk to you today about the recent article you wrote at CheeseheadTV.com. About Aaron Rodgers' consistency in the pocket. And for maybe those who haven't read it before, it's published at CheeseheadTV.com. But could you kind of give us a general overview of the article?
Sure. Basically, I was just kind of looking at dropback times for Aaron Rodgers versus the rest of the league. I wasn't looking for anything or to prove anything. I was just kind of curious what it was. And what I discovered was that his last three full seasons, I don't include 2013 because of the broken collarbone, but his last three full seasons, his dropback times were just ridiculously consistent. From a max to min, there was 0.02 of a second difference at between the average of those three seasons from the time he snapped the ball to the time he released the ball. And then from the time that he snapped the ball to the end of the play or the time he crossed the line of scrimmage, if he decided to run for it, there was 0.03 of a second. And no other quarterback in the league could come close to that. I think the closest I could find was Matt Ryan, and he was still in the 0.07 of a second. Every other quarterback was 0.1 of seconds ahead as far as consistency goes. It was just crazy. And then I also took a look at how he performed when he was in the pocket for 2.5 seconds or less, and then how he performed when he was in the pocket for 2.5 seconds or more, as far as quarterback rating and everything like that goes.
Yeah, what I found remarkable in your article that was that Rodgers' passer rating, both when he gets rid of the ball quickly and when he hangs on to the football for a little bit longer, it seems as if quarterbacks in general are only able to do one or the other successfully. Why do you think that's such a rare quality that Rodgers is able to do both of those categories pretty well, I guess?
I think it's in large part due to you got to have a lot of things go your way. The first is you have to be a great quarterback to begin with. And if you're going to be good in the short passes, you have to, the offensive line maybe isn't as big of a deal, but you have to trust your receivers that you're going to have timing with them and you know where they're going to be, because more than likely you're going to throw it before the receiver makes his break or right as he's making his break. And you have to trust that the receiver's going to get himself in a position to make that catch. He's not going to get pushed off of his route or anything like that. And that's something Rodgers definitely has with his receivers, especially with Cobb and Nelson. And as far as, and he has to be able to diagnose from the defense that that's something they're going to be able to get too. You can't just take a guess and shoot blindly and have good success with that. You're either going to get players jumping routes, or you're going to get linebackers dropping back into coverage that he may or may not have expected. And then on deep passes, you got to kind of have the whole thing work your way. You've got to be a quarterback who can look off the safety to make sure your man gets man-to-man coverage at worst. You've got to have an offensive line that's going to give you some time to let the route develop, and you've got to have receivers that are going to get themselves open, and if it's a one-on-one battle, they got to win those battles. And obviously you have to have a quarterback who's good enough to throw the ball where he needs to as far as arm strength and accuracy and everything like that. And with Rodgers, it's just a special ability that he has that very few have ever had.
Now, it seems to me a little bit that Aaron Rodgers kind of sacrifices a few more sacks than the normal NFL quarterback in order to buy time and make plays. Now, seeing as he does pretty well getting rid of the ball quickly and in rhythm, kind of like a Peyton Manning type quarterback, do you think taking this slightly higher number of sacks has worked against him at all?
I wouldn't say it's worked against him. I think at times it's been a little frustrating to watch, especially the first 5 or so years of his career. I think it was really obvious last year. I think he got a little better with that, and I think that also is partially due to the offensive line. But it's something that I think even if he does take a few more sacks, you got to live with as a Packer fan, because his ability to buy time and to kind of create more time for big plays to develop is what makes him so special, and it's what allows him, and especially him and Jordy Nelson, to work together and create so many big plays.
Yeah, I do agree, by the way. I am playing a little bit of devil's advocate here, but I would tend to agree with that sentiment. But I am wondering also, as Aaron Rodgers kind of gets up in age and his mobility becomes less and less, probably every year he gets a little bit older, do you think we'll see him become even more of the pocket type of quarterback that buys less time less often and gets rid of the ball more quickly, kind of like Peyton Manning does now?
I think just as it's natural, as the quarterback gets older, he's going to have to become a little bit more of a pocket passer. But I mean, Rodgers has been so good throughout his career as far as mobility goes. He's one of the better mobile quarterbacks, even if he's not truly scrambling for yards a ton anymore. But I don't think he'll ever quite be the Peyton Manning type, but I do think he'll, as he gets older, he'll be more of the Tom Brady type, where I think Brady moves really, really, really well within the pocket. He's not so much going to bust out of the pocket or do anything out there a ton, but within the pocket, he's very good at moving around and buying some more time. And I could easily see Rodgers doing that. And if nothing else, maybe a little bit more like Favre too, where he was good at just getting out of the pocket. And if he needed to run, he would take the 5 yards the defense would give him, but he wasn't going to, you know, break off 20-yard runs or anything. Even at the end of his career, he was still pretty good at that.
Yeah, I can hear you. We're talking to Michael Reuter of CheeseheadTV.com here at a Monday morning on Railbird Central. Mike, how much credit does the offensive line deserve for giving Rodgers so much time to throw? Because it seems to me there's this feeling that the offensive line really stepped forward this past season in 2014. But according to statistics cited that you cited, that the time Rodgers has to throw has been really pretty consistent for the past three, four years.
Yeah, it's as far as the time to throw. I mean, granted, this is more or less a 3-year sample, so it could just be a small sample size. That's Pro Football Focus is the one where I got those numbers from, and they're the only ones I could find the drop back times on, and they only go back to 2011. So it's more or less just a 3-year sample size, but still the consistency was crazy. And I do think the offensive line has taken a big step forward this year, but I think where you're seeing a little bit of a difference is that maybe it's not so much the time to throw as it is how many less sacks he's taking. He's still throwing off. He's still got it in his head. He's got a set amount of time he needs to get the ball released by. And just because of the number of plays, the certain plays they call, they're going to be calling a similar amount or similar style of plays each year. And last season he saw 5.17% of his pass plays ended up in a sack. And that was by far and away the lowest of his career. The next lowest was like 6.5%. And last season, even the 5.17 ranked 13th in the NFL. That's the first time in his career the Packers have been in the top half of that stat. Otherwise they've always been towards the bottom, which kind of says a lot more about how long he's held on the ball and the offensive line play as a whole. But I think the offensive line gets some credit as far as the lack of sacks they gave up. They played really well last year.
Yeah, I agree. Are there any offensive linemen you trust more than the others in pass protection? Just kind of getting your own off the cuff opinion here.
I think the tackles are obviously the sexy position because they have to play against the athletic freaks typically, unless you're going against, you know, a J.J. Watt or a Ndamukong Suh on the interior. But for the most part, the freaks are going to be on the outside and the tackles got their hands full. But I think the Packers got lucky with two of the better guards in the entire NFL, yeah, with Lang and Sitton. And I think off the top of my head, I don't think Sitton allowed a single sack last year, and Lang couldn't have been more than two. And that's a heck of a combination, especially when they've got tackles on each of their sides and they've got the center on the other side. So if they're solid, then the tackles and the centers can just worry about getting their man and doing their job, and they don't have to worry about helping out the guy next to them at all. And I really think that's a big advantage to them, especially with the Packers got a little lucky last year with really no offensive line injuries outside of Don Barclay, and he was more or less just the backup for every single position. And Bakhtiari, young guy, he played really well last year. He kind of off and on the year before that, but and Balaga's had a bunch of injury history too. So I would say the consistency of great play and always being on the field between Sitton and Lang is just something the Packers have been very lucky with.
Yeah, I would say Aaron Rodgers is pretty lucky because I'm pretty confident all five of the guys across the starting line, you know, left to right, that I think the Packers are very lucky to have all five of them, and I think they're a really good group. To expand it a little bit here, how much credit can we give to the running backs for pass protection, guys like Eddie Lacy and John Kuhn?
I don't know how much credit you can give. I'd have to go back and watch a little more, focus more specifically on them, but I don't think there's any doubt that Lacy's a very solid pass blocking running back, especially compared to someone like James Starks. Mm-hmm. And if I don't know if it's just Lacy's got that bigger build, so he's not afraid to throw his body around, or if that's just the mentality he has. And I think the Packers have been pretty blessed with Kuhn over the years, where obviously he's loved or hated for his running ability, but his pass blocking ability, I think, is pretty underrated. He's been very consistent, and I'll never forget, obviously, that chip he had on Julius Peppers at the end of the 2013 season there.
That was a very good play. I thought the article was great, Mike. Gave us a little bit of a good discussion this morning here. What do you have anything in mind here for what's next? I'm not sure how far you plan ahead or if you've been assigned an article or anything. Can you give us a general preview of what's coming next at Cheesehead TV?
I've got I've got a list of maybe 50 topics that when I randomly think of something, I kind of put them into a list, and then okay. I kind of look through to see what's possible. Can I get that information? And I've kind of been working on a couple things that I'll probably do a little later on. How does cold weather affect things like ball flight and ability to grip the ball, and some stuff like kind of going more in depth on kick returning, and the Packers really struggled with that last year. How much does the offense and defense improve just with field position? But as far, I'm kind of working off and on those. And then as far as next week goes, I'm going to have to take a look, probably sit down tonight. I usually figure that out Sunday night, do my stats Monday and Tuesday, and kind of write it Wednesday night. So I'm going to probably have to figure that one out tonight.
All right. Well, we're going to look forward to it, whatever you do, Mike. But thank you so much for joining us here on a Monday morning at Railbird Central. Glad to be talking to you. Glad to see your work featured at Cheesehead TV as part of the new crew coming over.
I appreciate you having me on, Brian.
Thanks a lot. Take care, Mike. Mike Reuter of Cheesehead TV joining us here on a Monday morning at Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and also broadcasted at Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well as we continue our conversation today about the
Packers news of the day.
Jarrett Bush has been suspended for 4 games by the NFL, according to Howard Balzer of the Sports Exchange. Bush, of course, is a former Packers player, and I believe this all stems from the arrest in early March, and if I'm correct, I believe Bush was still a member of the Packers at the time he was arrested, but it was right around the start of free agency. Just days later, his contract expired, and he became a free agent. Still a free agent, eligible to sign with any team, but of course, this kind of complicates matters, whether he was going to, you know, re-sign with the Packers, whether he was considering it, or any other team for that matter. This really kind of stands in a roadblock to that happening, because if you're like me, I've kind of wondered, you see that open roster spot currently, as of the time of this episode, the Packers have 89 of 90 roster spots filled. So they have one spot open to fill. Should they choose to fill it, they don't have to. There's no rule that says you have to have a full roster. Sometimes they just like to keep themselves open to a little bit of flexibility. All of a sudden, if there's an injury, and then they don't have to, you know, cut somebody to make space. So maybe they go that route. But, you know, I kind of wondered, well, Jarrett Bush, he knows the team's defense. He knows the special teams. He's been arguably the best special teams player on the Packers roster for the past, you know, 5+ years or so, and think, you know, maybe they'll bring him back at some point. But this kind of stands as a roadblock to that. And I'm kind of surprised, to tell you the truth, that he got suspended for 4 games because, like I said, this stems for his arrest for the what officially went down on record was public intoxication. Now, the report from Balzer says, quote, that Bush, quote, initially failed to cooperate with officers, end quote. I guess you had to be there to see what may have happened there. But still, I mean, the 4 games is the same amount of time that Greg Hardy is now suspended. And yes, I realize that his suspension was reduced from 10 games by an arbiter, and that's, you know, different from, you know, the case here with Jarrett Bush. But man, you know, at some point here, the NFL has to start getting this right about consistency with suspensions. And I'm surprised here because the charges were dropped against Jarrett Bush. And I suppose he had to be there. There's this feeling that sometimes, you know, all of a sudden the police department learns they've arrested a high profile NFL player for something, you know, that maybe isn't huge, and maybe they just drop charges because
because it's a high-profile NFL player and they don't want the attention or anything like that, any negative publicity. So there could be some of that going on. Maybe not unlike what happened with LaTroy Guyon in Florida, but that's despite the kind of getting off track here. I'm surprised that it's four games. I thought it would, you know, if anything happened, would be less, you know, like one or two games. And who knows, maybe Bush didn't appeal the decision. Apparently, as I understand it, suspensions are handed out in the NFL after appeals, not before. It, you know, a lot of times you'll hear about fines being appealed, but suspensions are always announced after appeal. So maybe Bush was suspended, didn't appeal it. Who knows? Maybe he has no more intention of joining the NFL. I remember he'd conducted an interview with Tyler Dunn on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel before he left post arrest. But now this is like probably 2 months ago. Who knows? Maybe in the interim, Bush has given up his desires to play football. But he stated he was still interested in doing so, whether with the Packers or elsewhere. So the one more thing I found interesting here is that I believe that the suspensions take place whether a player is signed or not. And here's what the report from Balzer says. Quote, all of the suspended players remain eligible to sign with the team and participate in the preseason. Their suspensions take effect as of the league roster reduction to 53 players. End quote. And I think that's the key point here. So it sounds like that even if Jared Bush doesn't sign, that his you know, suspension takes place anyway, starting week one of the NFL regular season through week four. And you know what? I suppose that makes sense because, you know, he would never be signed, or apparently Bush is one of like four players who are not currently under contract or were suspended by the NFL. None of them would ever get signed if they had to, you know, serve the suspension once they were signed. So I guess that does make sense. And maybe that leaves out the slim possibility that Bush could still re-sign with the Packers mid-season should like something like injuries take place. You remember that sort of situation happening a few years ago when the Packers re-signed Dorsey Levens. He had left Green Bay. He had been gone for a while, and then all of a sudden they suffer a few injuries at the running back position and they signed him late in the year. That could be the one route back to Green Bay for Jared Bush, you know, assuming he serves his four-game suspension at the beginning of the year, and then who knows, midseason, Packers suffer some injuries, they need some help, they're looking for a guy just to get him through the season, maybe they look to Jared Bush. So I suppose I wouldn't throw in the towel just yet on Jared Bush, although this is making it look slimmer. The hopes look slimmer and slimmer by the moment here as far as his chances of rejoining the NFL go. So that's the latest. Just reported, was it this morning or yesterday? Looks like, yeah, early this morning. The timestamp on the article, 1:02 a.m., somebody was up late writing this article last night. So just kind of surfacing today news that Jared Bush has been suspended by the NFL. But one more item that I guess I'd like to just address here briefly because it's not really news. It's more speculation. An article by Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com basically saying, quote, don't be surprised, end quote, if the Packers add a tight end at some point here, kind of in light of the news that Andrew Quarles has been arrested, and throws out the name Jermaine Gresham, who is a former first-round draft pick of the Cincinnati Bengals and kind of is regarded as maybe the best tight end left on the market. And that is kind of intriguing. Jermaine Gresham is coming off back surgery, and that kind of puts a little thought in the back of your head, like kind of maybe you should be leery of an injured player. But apparently he's going to be ready in time for training camp. And if he is, Jermaine Gresham entered the NFL in the year 2010, I believe. So he's still relatively young. This would be his fifth season in the NFL. And he's been a good but not a great player. A first-round talent coming out of the University of Oklahoma, I believe. So that really kind of intrigues me a little bit. Should the Packers be interested in signing a player of that caliber? That, you know, the Packers don't go out and sign, you know, veterans from other NFL teams in free agency very often. Obviously, they notably did last year with Julius Peppers and LaTroy Guyon. But aside from that, it's like if they make one move like this a year, that's about the Packers' quota. You know, they go outside Cedric Benson a few years ago, or Brandon Chiller. We're going back several years here. When Charles Woodson and Ryan Pickett were signed the same offseason, that was, you know, kind of big. But that kind of thing only comes around once a decade or so with the Green Bay Packers. So interesting. The name Jermaine Gresham has been thrown out there. Simply speculation here. No solid, this is happening. It hasn't happened yet, but it's an interesting name to kind of throw out there and hang on to because if Jermaine Gresham is healthy, I think he could help the Packers organization, especially considering beyond Richard Rodgers and Andrew Corliss, the Packers have very little depth at the tight end position. So, like I said, interesting, but that's all we can go on at this point is mere speculation. But just keep that in the back of your mind over the next few days, because I imagine if they make a move, they're going to want to do it in time for training camp, you know, get him in there as soon as possible from day one and start learning the offense, so he's ready by the time the regular season starts if he's healthy. So there you go. With our next segment,
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers. This Monday, the Packers Hall of Fame Golf Classic takes place on Monday at the Bull in Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin. Kind of a fundraiser. The Packers Hall of Fame operates separately from the Packers organization. It's not a little known fact, but I don't think there's a lot of people out there who maybe know that. So they don't have access to all the funds the Packers organization has, seeing as they operate separately. So that's why they have a fundraiser like this. People can register for, you know, it costs a pretty penny to take part in this, but you register like a foursome, and then you golf with a celebrity player for the day, a member of the Packers Hall of Fame who's been inducted already. And it always happens like the Monday before the induction banquet. So a lot of these guys will be hanging around Green Bay this week, you know, taking part in the Golf Classic on Monday, sticking around through the induction banquet this weekend. Of course, this upcoming weekend, Saturday, Brett Favre being inducted into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. So that's what's happening on a Monday in the world of the Green Bay Packers, kind of taking place all day long, very long golf tournament. So there you go. Coverage of that at Packers.com if you are interested. And that basically does it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us on the show. Michael, thank you to Mike Reuter of Cheesehead TV for joining us for an interview. It was great to talk to him and talk a little Packers football. We'll be back again on Wednesday. The live edition of the show airs every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, on demand, podcasted later in the day. My call to action, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. This show was free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. The one small thing we ask, if you could do that, give us a rating. We'd really appreciate it. Helps us get the word out about the show and helps us spread the word. So thanks a lot. We'll see you, folks. See you on Wednesday. I leave you today with a song called Golden Ghost by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack Go.